our Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The countdown to November 5th has officially begun. Iowa holds the first Republican nominating contest of 2024 tonight.
It is dangerously cold here, the kind of cold that hurts after being outside for just a few seconds. The conditions may depress turnout. There's no way to know or even predict, since no one can remember a caucus night with temperatures this insanely low. But those who do intend to caucus say they'll gladly brave the frigid air to take part in a quadrennial tradition that's a part of Hawkeye pride. Going first has been Iowa's thing for half a century.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Officials in Texas are denying claims they barred federal agents from accessing part of the border Friday night trying to rescue three migrants drowning in the Rio Grande. The Texas Military Department says it looked but did not find anything. Central Command says an anti-ship missile was fired at the destroyer USS Laboon in the Gulf of Aden. A U.S. fighter jet shot it down. This is ABC News.
This message is for Shauna.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The snow is coming down hard in most of Wisconsin, and it'll be 6 to 12 inches before it's all over. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The target, the heaviest of the snow, is still tracking the same direction as the last one. Headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
The snow in this storm is drier than Tuesday's, and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles per hour, qualifying as a blizzard. A Dane County judge has blocked an effort from legislative Republicans to remove the state's top election administrator. The judge ruled that Megan Wolf is able to stay in her position until the State Elections Commission names a new administrator. The judge also ruled that the commission has no obligation to find a new administrator. I'm Nate Wiggeho, Civic Media News.
Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won a playoff game in Dallas. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating of 157. Romeo Doubs on the Packers' young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be really cold with a wind chill factor pushing minus 25 to minus 35 today, tonight, and tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy, becoming a little breezy by later this afternoon. Two above for a high. Tonight, partly cloudy, nine below. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of two above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, four below zero.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.com. MinoMoney.us. Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the Morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Makes sense.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, did you get a chance to dig out from all that precipitation that we picked up late last week? And now sub-zero temperatures greet us on a Monday. Hello, everybody. Fabulous farmer Pam Yonke. Glad to have you. Join me near the radio, and I'll tell you what. It is going to be a brutal week as far as temperatures are concerned. National Weather Service cautioning that it's life-threatening in some areas of the United States. We have got a wind chill advisory in effect basically all week long. Today, we'll see partly cloudy skies, daytime highs no better than about 2 above. And that's before you factor in a breeze. Tonight, down to 12 below. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 3 above. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 13 degrees. Thursday, mostly cloudy and 9 above. Friday, partly cloudy and a 10 above. But again, we're not talking about the wind in those temperatures. Looks like this week they've got our winds out of the west-northwest anywhere from 7 to 13 miles an hour. So you know those wind chills are definitely going to be dangerous. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, will join us and give us a better look at that forecast in about 15 minutes. Also this morning, why do dairy farmers specifically go through so much work, so much energy to invite people out to the farm? Dairy breakfast, little kids tours, families, why do they do it? And what's the payback? We're talking about that with one dairy farmer from the West Bend area who's involved not only on the board of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, but also has an ag tourism venue at his dairy operation. Stick around for my conversation with Rick Roden on that.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodashvet.com. Innovation, that's BioVet.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Twitter.
Alfalfa has gotten a renewed emphasis at the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. An example, Scott Newell has been on staff for about 6 months now. Alfalfa Outreach Specialist, Crops and Soils Program, Agriculture Institute. And Scott, what does all that mean? Strictly alfalfa, right?
Yep, so strictly alfalfa. This is a new position that's been created at the University of Wisconsin's Extension, recognizing a lack of emphasis on alfalfa in the state and in the region and across the nation. So actually I have some ability to work outside of this region to promote alfalfa best practices and some of the benefits of alfalfa to the state, to the region, and to the nation. It's a bit of a tricky thing to balance, but I'm figuring it out.
What are some of the things you're finding or have you been tasked with as far as alfalfa not getting the respect, for lack of a better term, that it deserves?
So one of the things I think about a lot is, you know, there's a list of problems with any crop. There's a list of problems that you run into. So with alfalfa, what are those problems? What are the challenges that you face in the season, and how can we help support farmers, growers in those challenges? You know, I think about corn, soybeans, those bigger crops that have a lot more support. They have challenges just like alfalfa does, but they have people that are talking about how to face those challenges, how best to mitigate those problems. And alfalfa just hasn't had that. So I'd like to bolster that support, make alfalfa more. Everything in agriculture is about risk and risk management. In crops where you have more support, you feel better about that risk. So I'd like to bring that support back in alfalfa. You know, in those risk situations when we have times like too much water, too little water, what are you looking for? What's going to happen in the future?
Sounds to me like We have a lot of interaction with researchers, not just in Wisconsin, but all over the country, to point out the benefits of alfalfa, not only to farmers, but to our environmental as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the interesting pieces of having a role like I do is that the research work that is not necessarily work that I'm doing personally. I'm involved in a lot of that stuff, but really what I'm trying to do is maximize the output of alfalfa research in the country. We have a limited number of people researching in forages, so how do I connect those people? How do I find people who are, let's say, alfalfa adjacent? You know, they're working on entomology, but they're not necessarily working. They could be working on alfalfa, but they aren't right now. So how do I connect them in and broaden the impact of alfalfa with limited resources? So it's a really interesting piece. You know, I'm given the latitude to think about that stuff and kind of create those networks of people and bring all that together. So I'm really excited about that, but it will take a while for all that to grow and come to fruition.
How is this going to work? I think of corn and soybeans, and they are well-funded. The corn growers, the soybean growers, stuff, alfalfa doesn't have that. So what kind of a challenge is that?
Yeah, so alfalfa does have a checkoff, or at least did for, I believe still do. NAFA has a checkoff, $1 per bag of seed that gets sold. It's a bit of a different checkoff program from what corn and soy have.
It's not on a per bushel or per bale.
No, exactly. It's really difficult to do that on a per bushel, per, you know, on a pail per bale basis because you're feeding on farm. You know, what are you going to do? Ask someone to report how many silage wagons they put in a bunker? No, you're not going to do that. So they found that the best way to do that was to get a checkoff on the bag. And that's gone to fund a lot of really interesting research, actually, and kind of led to some preliminary data that has allowed for these larger funding sources from the federal government to come in and bolster research support. So it's been really useful for the industry to have that. But certainly we don't have the resources of soybean, corn, as far as that checkoff industry support goes. So that's where I'm talking about finding alfalfa adjacent people. If I'm interested in say, pea aphids in alfalfa or alfalfa weevil, that's an entomology issue. Is there entomology research that I can bring in that isn't necessarily earmarked for alfalfa, but could go towards alfalfa and supporting the crop?
What are some of the research topics that you've found by talking to researchers that you're sharing with not only farmers but the general public?
Yeah, so there's a lot of work that's been going into establishing kind of the nutrient credits of alfalfa. There's a lot of interest in that going forward. We've got a new water quality list here at UW, Stephen Hall. He's really interested in water quality and how the crops on the landscape affect that, and particularly seems to be interested in the nutrient credits from alfalfa. My colleague Marta Komen as well is interested in that. So that's a piece that I think helps bolster alfalfa in the equation when you're looking at nutrient credits. And I think a lot of us think of nutrient credits from alfalfa or manure as a yearly thing. You know, we can decrease nitrogen nutrient applications for the first year. There's a lot of effect that happens in the second and the third year. So quantifying that, allowing that savings to happen in multiple years, I think will increase the attractiveness of alfalfa in the rotation. And that's a piece that I'd really like to help improve. Another piece is there are out west, you know, water has been a big challenge out there. Limited water in both in the Colorado River, but also in groundwater pumping areas. So how does alfalfa fit into that picture? You know, right now it gets a lot of attention because it's a high acreage crop. That means de facto it is a high water using crop. It's not necessarily any more water per acre than most other crops, but it has more acreage, it uses more water, it gets a lot of attention. And I think the thing that I see there is there's a lot of research out west on deficit irrigation, and alfalfa has proven to be incredibly flexible on water use. It is a heavy water user if you give it water. But it is heavily responding to water. So if you don't give it water, it'll stop growing. It'll go dormant. And whenever you do have water again, you know, in a rainier season, you can apply that. So it's an extremely flexible crop as far as that goes. So I'm hoping that research can be taken out to, you know, interested parties out there so that they can better understand the agriculture on their landscape. I think a big part is just most people don't understand you know, the ins and outs of agriculture. So getting that sort of knowledge out there as well is a big piece.
Do you, Scott, have your own research projects, or are you working with the focused researcher, so to speak?
We're still figuring that out, but I will be very, very collaborative in this role on bringing together those other specific research faculties. So my appointment is 100% extension. That doesn't mean that I can't do some research if I'm interested, but let's just say my time is meant to go towards that extension and outreach portion. And I think that I can leverage this role better on the research side of things by bringing people together who are dedicated to research. Rather than me spending 20 to 30% of my time on research, if I bring people who spend 80 to 90% of their time on research, I think they can get that stuff done a lot faster. But I can bring in the expertise on the alfalfa side of what is it that we need to look into, what are some things that are going to make this trial more interesting to farmers, growers. You know, let's not use old seed sources that no one uses anymore. Let's use commercially relevant varieties, things like that, that make the research more applicable to the end user.
Now, here in Wisconsin, we have the Dairy Forage Research Center. Are you tied in with those folks as well as university researchers like MARTA that you alluded to? And what are the issues you're trying to get across just specifically here in Wisconsin or the upper Midwest?
I do work with the Dairy Forage Research Center folks there. They do a lot of interesting work, but they don't have the time or the appointment to do the extension side of things. So that was one of the goals in creating this role, was to allow for some of that really interesting work that's happening there to get disseminated. An example of that is John Graber has been working on corn alfalfa interseeding for 10 or 14 years now at USDA, and he's ironed out a lot of interesting bugs there, you know, planting alfalfa alongside corn silage to establish alfalfa can boost your first year yields, which are generally low with alfalfa. There's a lot of challenges there, as you might presume, but as far as a companion crop, you can't get a higher yielding companion crop than corn. As long as you can get a good alfalfa field out of it, then I'm okay with including corn in there. So
begrudgingly.
Yeah, begrudgingly. No. Anything that gets more alfalfa out there and gets people interested in how to do it. And so I think that's one of those cool pieces where that research is being done. He's figured out a lot of really good best management practices, but it needs to make it's that last mile delivery that we've got to figure out. And that's where extension comes in, and that's where I think I can fit into this.
More good information about alfalfa as a renewed emphasis on forage production in Wisconsin, especially at the university where we haven't had people in these positions for the last few years. We do now. One of those, Scott Newell, Alfalfa Outreach Specialist, Crops and Soils Program, Agricultural Institute. He's headquartered at the university in Madison. I'm Bob Osold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, We are Oshkosh Air Support. 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Life Celebration Center.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Cheeks are red, lips are blue on a morning like this where we've got sub-zero temperatures, and that's before we factor in the wind chills. Time to talk weather, brought to you courtesy of our friends of Compeer Financial. Stu Mock, Ag Meteorologist, along with us. So let's go back a bit and take a look at the end snowfall results that we ended up with Friday, maybe into Saturday a little bit before we pivot to the blistering cold temperatures we're going to deal with this week.
Well, it really was very wintry. I've got a map right here, at least from southeast Wisconsin, indicating from the weekend about 10.9 at Fond du Lac, 9.2 at Madison, 10.5 at Beaver Dam. And then I love to look at the areas where they just kind of broad brushed it. Waukesha, 14 to 16. West Bend, 16 to 18. My wife was in West Bend on Saturday and said it wasn't too bad. No, yesterday. Yesterday was in West Bend. Said it wasn't too bad, but they sure had a lot of snow cleanup. I added up for the Madison area, Pam, from when it all started on Tuesday and lasted on into Saturday, 18.5 inches at the airport.
Yeah, and if you take a look around where anybody's had to plow and push, you know what I mean? You've got drifts or piles that are rivaling buildings. And, you know, that's just it. We're cleaned up as much as we're going to clean up. That's one thing we got to remember, Stu. We went downtown Madison yesterday for an event, and when you get into city conditions, they, in many cases, might not be as clear as some of our rural, more traveled roads. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, there's nowhere to go with the snow. I know around here that the plan, from what I hear, they're going to start hauling snow from some areas to get it out of the way. Otherwise, there was nowhere to go with it. So there's still a lot to deal with, and the cold air isn't going to let it melt off very quick. The big one to remember, the wind chill advisory in effect, at least in western Wisconsin, till noon Tuesday for almost all the rest of us in the south and the east until 9 a.m. Wednesday. Wind chills, especially in the nighttime, could drop down into the 20 or 30 below range. Very, very chilly. Take it seriously. Bundle up when we get out and about. Don't spend too much time outdoors unless you really have to, and then be prepared for it. High pressure is going to keep things pretty quiet around here for a couple of days. I'd say toward Thursday or Thursday night, there may be a little light snow trying to build in. But wait, after that light snow, a little mild air could start to make an appearance. Those temperatures might start to climb as we look toward early next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Are rising utility bills putting a strain on your farm's bottom line?
Focus on Energy can identify energy efficiency upgrades designed to help you save for years to come.
Kickstart a more energy efficient future for your farm. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness to learn more.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, supporting Wisconsin's farmers since 2001.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, let's get strong against these wind chills this week. Stu, go ahead, paint us a picture for today.
All right, well, bundle up that wind chill advisory in effect, and the Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for some sunshine, partly or even mostly sunny skies, but cold, and temperatures are going to struggle to be around zero or maybe one above, and wind chill values will easily be down at 20 and 30 below. Wrap it up, protect yourself when you get out. The west wind's about 5 to 10. More clouds overnight, not that it keeps us warmer. We still drop down probably around 10 or 12 below, and the wind chill values 30 below and more. West winds 5 to 10. Partly sunny, still cold, a couple of degrees above zero tomorrow. and southwest winds at 5 to 15. Partly sunny Wednesday. Oh, maybe double digits. We could see a 10 here and there, or even a 12. And the west and southwest winds will be around 5 to 15. So those temps will begin to rise, Pam, but nothing spectacular, and really they won't stay up until as we head to early next week.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, joining us with your Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Again, you've got weather observations. I'd love to hear them. You can send them to me on our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Thanks also to everybody that sent comments on the post I put up, Fabulous Farm Babe, on Facebook, about how farmers tend to really have some challenges with this weather. We all do, but farmers especially. Compere Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit compere.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the last of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The countdown to November 5th has officially begun. Iowa holds the first Republican nominating contest of 2024 tonight.
It is dangerously cold here, the kind of cold that hurts after being outside for just a few seconds. The conditions may depress turnout. There's no way to know or even predict, since no one can remember a caucus night with temperatures this insanely low. But those who do intend to caucus say they'll gladly brave the frigid air to take part in a quadrennial tradition that's a part of Hawkeye pride. Going first has been Iowa's thing for half a century.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Officials in Texas are denying claims they barred federal agents from accessing part of the border Friday night, trying to rescue three migrants drowning in the Rio Grande. The Texas Military Department says it looked but did not find anything. Central Command says an anti-ship missile was fired at the destroyer USS Laboon in the Gulf of Aden. A U.S. fighter jet shot it down. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The snow is coming down hard in most of Wisconsin, and it'll be 6 to 12 inches before it's all over. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The target, the heaviest of the snow, is still tracking the same direction as the last one, headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
The snow in this storm is drier than Tuesday's, and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles per hour, qualifying as a blizzard. A Dane County judge has blocked an effort from legislative Republicans to remove the state's top election administrator. The judge ruled that Megan Wolf is able to stay in her position until the state elections commission names a new administrator. The judge also ruled that the commission has no obligation to find a new administrator. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Packers advance in the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a stunning win. Green Bay 48-32 over the heavily favored Cowboys in Dallas. Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love threw three touchdowns and had nearly a perfect quarterback rating of 157.2.
It's been a long season. We've been counted out. Can't say enough how proud I am of everybody in the locker room.
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy on the loss.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. You got to give Green Bay credit. They came in here hot, and we're hurting.
Team owner Jerry Jones.
Like the coaching to the players to what's around the corner. On a personal basis, I'm floored.
The Packers face the 49ers on the road Saturday night, 7:15 in the divisional playoffs. NBA, the Bucks with a 144-143 win in overtime against the Sacramento Kings. Damian Lillard coming up with a huge three-point winning shot at the buzzer with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
It is going to be really cold with a wind chill factor pushing minus 25 to minus 35 today, tonight, and tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy, becoming a little breezy by later this afternoon. 2 above for a high. Tonight, partly cloudy, 9 below. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 2 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on the pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Robbie? You the man. Hey, thanks again for three times this week. It's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Just moo it. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
As you might expect, bitterly cold all week long around the state of Wisconsin. We've got wind chill advisories out for everybody. It's going to be doggone dangerous to be out there. So make sure you're thinking smart when it comes to the clothes you're going to be wearing this week. Today's daytime highs no better than 2 above, and that does not factor in the wind. Tomorrow, 3 above. Wednesday, 13 above. Thursday, 9 above. Friday, 10 above. But again, remember, that is the thermometer temperature, not the wind chill. So exercise caution. I'm Pam Yonke. Really glad you're along with us. Rick Roden, who is a dairy farmer from West Bend, is going to join us in a little bit. You know, we talk a lot and we all enjoy those opportunities to get out to the farm, right? June dairy breakfast. Maybe it's a farm tour with the kids. Maybe it's a family visit. Those face-to-face interactions are really, really valuable. Yes, there are a lot of hard work for the hosting families, but they do pay dividends. Talking with Rick Roden about that before we wrap her up on a Monday. So today is the 15th day of January. What can I say? Well, after that bludgeoning they gave the Cowboys yesterday, it's worth noting on this day back in 1967, the Green Bay Packers won their first Super Bowl. Oh, my goodness. Coach Lombardi was so anxious about that one. Defeated the Kansas City Chiefs in the first Super Bowl championship. The game was at Memorial Coliseum in Los Angeles. More than 63,000 fans in attendance. Final score was 35-10. And the Packers collected $15,000 per player. The Chiefs, $7,500 per player. The largest single game shares in the history of team sports at that time. And boy, the Packers, I'm sure, were glad to get it. On this day, back in 1967. On this day, in 1973, Richard Nixon orders a ceasefire in Vietnam. But it kind of was a lost effort because fighting continued anyway until the capture of Saigon by the Vietnam People's Army on April of 1975. So Nixon declared a ceasefire today, but the fighting kept waging in Vietnam. On this day in 2001, Wikipedia goes online. That online encyclopedia, one of the largest reference works on the internet, started on this day in 2001. And happy birthday to the Chi-Chi-Cha-Cha-Cha girl, Charo Cha-Cha-Cha. Remember that? She's 73. As of today, and now you know. Well, we've got to keep an eye on what's happening as far as policy development, not only at the State House, but also on the national scene. Stephanie Hoff's got more.
It's that time of year to set your goals for 2024, and we do that today with Representative Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin's 3rd District. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Congressman Van Orden wrapped up his first year in Congress, where he serves on the House Agriculture Committee. He says his to-do list for 2024 focuses on expanding trade and getting the farm bill done. And there are a couple of deadlines coming up before some of that farm bill work can begin in earnest. The first deadline is January 19th. The other is February 2nd, both of which correlate to a government shutdown. Is that going to be a barrier?
I got to tell people, it took these, 50, 60 years for us to get into this financial mess. And the United States government is in a financial mess right now. Both Democrats and Republicans have spent a tremendous amount of money that belongs to our grandchildren, and I fully acknowledge that. We also have to understand that we're not riding a motorcycle here. We're steering an aircraft carrier. So the Fiscal Responsibility Act actually saved $2 trillion, and this is the first time in essentially modern history where we're going to be spending less money next year than we did this year, and that's a good thing. Is it enough? No. Can we get more through? Yes. So we're going to focus on this, and I want everybody to understand I will do just about anything I possibly can to make sure that this government does not shut down, because then all of these things come to a screeching halt. Our military doesn't get paid. We can't contract out to get the appropriate weapon systems that we need to protect ourselves and our allies. These programs, most of the Farm Bill programs, will continue even during a government shutdown.
Finally, Representative, I want to talk about how you've been pushing the Biden administration to keep Canada in check under the USMCA. Dairy processors and cooperatives across the U.S. are calling foul after a USMCA dispute settlement. The industry argues the panel ruling allows Canada to limit export opportunities for American dairy producers. And this is the general consensus among Wisconsin's delegation, including you. So what solutions are you proposing to make sure dairymen and women have fair access to Canadian markets?
Here's what I would prefer the executive branch under the Biden administration to do. Their job. Read the USMCA and follow it. Make sure that Canada holds up their side of the bargain. Our farmers, when they are getting, our manufacturers too, across the board, but our farmers, if they're given a level playing field, will come out on top every time against every country in every category, including cheese. I don't care what they say in France. So what I want the Biden administration to do through the U.S. Department of Agriculture is their job. Enforce the USMCA. It took a long time to get through, and it was under President Trump. Enforce the provisions in there so that our farmers have a level playing field. So, again, we cranked a letter out there. We're not going to let this one go. I'm sick and tired of the executive branch treating the legislative branch like they're not a co-equal branch of government. Well, we are. And we're the people that set these things, and they're supposed to enforce it, because the executive branch is the only branch of government that has enforcement authority. So I just want them to do their job to let our farmers compete on a level playing field.
Getting a farm bill done and encouraging trade deals are what tops the to-do list in 2024 for Congressman Derek Van Orden. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. So we'll keep an eye on what's happening with that progress in Washington, D.C. Another item that's coming up before the U.S. Supreme Court this week is their review of a 40-year-old legal doctrine called the Chevron Deference Doctrine. They've been looking at this for a while. Basically, what they want to do is review just exactly how federal agencies enforce laws. They say that it's actually ended up creating a super branch of government where the federal agencies are interpreting and crafting laws as they see fit without input from Congress or the role of the judiciary. That's something that is supposed to be reviewed by the Supreme Court this Wednesday. Well, it is a Martin Luther King Monday, so markets are idle today. On Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese was down a half at 144.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a quarter, 156 and a quarter. Double A butter up a quarter of a cent, 256 and three quarters per pound. All of the grain trade finished lower after the release of the World Ag Supply Demand Report, which we'll be talking about tomorrow with John Heinberg.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It seems like everywhere you look right now, someone is sick. This year, prepare your family for airborne invaders like bacteria, pollen, and yes, germs with Navage Nasal Care. Navage flushes ultra-pure, refreshing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. Navage sucks out viruses, dust, and other airborne particles, all the stuff that gets trapped in your nose, making you miserable. Don't get caught empty-handed this winter. Get Navage, the drug-free solution that helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier. Even better, Navage is HSA FSA eligible, so Navage is a great way to spend those funds before they expire. Don't wait a minute longer. Buy Navage today and you'll breathe easier knowing you're putting your funds to good use. Navage is available online at Navage.com or Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Near Easttown Mall.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Catching up with our friends from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin in this new calendar year, an exciting new calendar year to say the least. Looking forward to a lot of folks learning more about Wisconsin agriculture and specifically Wisconsin's dairy industry. I always want to remind you about their website, wisconsindairy.org, for all the information you're looking for, as well as connections to our key cheesemakers across the state of Wisconsin. And of course, more details about our talented farmers taking care of their cattle every day, contributing to our very important dairy industry. And with that thought in mind, today we're going to travel to southeast Wisconsin over in the West Bend area and visit with Rick Roden. He is on the board of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, one of the dairy producers that is following the dollars that they contribute across the state and watching the programs unfold. Rick, thanks for joining us. Tell me a little bit about your dairy operation.
Yeah, like you said, Rick Roden here. We milk about 850 cows. We just put in a rotary parlor nearly 2 years ago that we're milking on. We also have an egg tourism business that my youngest sister Jackie runs called Roden Bargain Adventures, where we welcome people out in the summertime mostly, you know, when the weather's nice, you know, for day camps for kids. We have about 40 kids each week. We've hosted various events. Just last year, we had breakfast on the farm, but we've hosted those over the years and Sunday on the farm, and, you know, welcome a lot of people to our farm to teach them about agriculture.
Boy, and in West Bend, that's a perfect location for that. When did you decide that you wanted to step up and be a part of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board, Rick?
Yeah, so I've been on the board for, I think it's about 5 years now. And what happened was there was actually a vacancy in our district, so I filled out the application, and there was three of us that filled it out, and they selected me to be on. And when I first got on, you know, I just wanted more education of, you know, where our dollars are really going, and sitting on this board has really opened my eyes what they really do.
Well, one area we want to focus on today, Rick, is what you alluded to. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin spends a lot of time and energy as well as money to make sure that they're drawing attention to Wisconsin's dairy industry for visitors from out of state, out of the country, and then again, even those folks that are right here in Wisconsin. What do you think about those opportunities? I mean, like you said, you've got an ag tourism business right there on the farm. What have you learned about people's natural curiosity about Wisconsin agriculture and our dairy industry?
Well, Wisconsin is America's dairyland, you know, so that, I mean, that's what we're really known for and what we're proud of. And what we got to remember about America's dairyland or Wisconsin is, you know, we always use the 90-90 rule. 90% of Wisconsin's milk is made into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is exported outside of Wisconsin. I think one thing that Wisconsin really prides itself on is their cheese makers, right? So what DFW has worked hard on here in recent years is getting that badge awareness, that proudly dairy cheese, that proudly dairy, or probably Wisconsin cheese, probably Wisconsin dairy, you know, and really making that badge known nationwide and even worldwide.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that 90-90 experience and what Wisconsin's talking about to the global world. The economic driver that Wisconsin's dairy industry is, that's another part that people don't sometimes pay attention to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Wisconsin dairy contributed $45.6 billion to the industry, which is almost 7.1% of the state total. 157,000 jobs. I mean, with nearly 6,000 dairy farms being in the state of Wisconsin, more than any other state, I mean, with about 1.2 million cows. I mean, 95% of Wisconsin dairy farms are still family-owned, just like mine.
Well, and that's the story that the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin really likes to amplify when it comes to those face-to-face experiences. Rick Roden's along with us. He is one of the board members of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, a producer himself just outside of West Bend. Now, you mentioned at the outset, Rick, that you do have an ag tourism opportunity on your farm. Tell me a little bit about what the reaction is when people have a chance to come to the farm. You had a chance face-to-face to see how quickly their misconceptions turn into important learning lessons.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with kids, you know, I mean, we have 40 kids here every week through the summertime, 8 to 9 weeks worth. And, you know, seeing them get to feed that baby calf, that bottle of milk, you know, the joy it brings to them, or take them to the maternity pen where they get to see a baby calf be born. I mean, that is a true miracle of life that, you know, not every kid gets to experience. We take it for granted being farm kids that we get to witness that almost on a daily basis, but to give that opportunity to other kids and other families to witness some of those true miracles, and then really to key in on, you know, where their food comes from. You know, that milk comes from a cow, you know, and that milk gets made into cheese, ice cream, yogurt, all the dairy products that we get to enjoy and eat.
That's one of the reasons why Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has focused in a lot of time and energy, making materials available to dairy farmers across the state that are going to be like Rick, hosting farm tours, a dairy breakfast, a twilight meeting, school groups, whatever it may be. Now, Rick, let's talk a little bit about how you try to understand the people that are coming to visit your farm. Why do you think it's important that you understand their preconceived ideas about dairy, the idea of what you're doing as far as handling animals? Tell us a little bit about how you try to study your audience before they arrive.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different, right? So if we have groups of farmers coming out, we're going to talk to them differently. I have a school group or adults even. But, you know, we really like to get a good dialogue going of questions and answers, and really kind of steer the conversation of, you know, what are their concerns? What are their questions? What do they just don't know? And, you know, answer those questions to the truth of what we're actually doing on a dairy farm, you know, how we feed our cows, how we take care of the land, how we're sustainable, how many future, you know, the future and how many generations of farming we've had, and, you know, a little bit of the history and, you know, just where our food comes from. You know, we like to kind of target, you know, the audience. I mean, a kid isn't going to have the same question as parents, right? So, you know, kind of to get to their level to be able to make them understand exactly what we're doing on a day-to-day basis on the farm.
Now, how do you classify a successful visit, Rick? I mean, one thing I get caught up on and really remind dairy producers about is the language that we use. You know, people don't care about how big your farm is or really how many cows you've got, and they sure as heck probably don't understand hundredweight and some of the other terms we use. How do you make sure that you're preparing yourself to talk clearly with those folks and really address what they care about, which is probably those animals?
Right, and that's why we like bringing the people right out to the farm to show them firsthand that, you know, our cows are housed inside our cross-fenced barn where in the summertime there's an 8 to 9 mile-hour breeze coming through there. And in wintertime, it's not frozen and cold in there. They weren't outside in the snow like yesterday. You know, to give them that real impression and what we're actually doing and how these animals are really being treated is, you know, how we feel is the best way to accomplish them having a positive impression of agriculture and animal agriculture, especially in our surrounding area.
Do you feel like they walk away with a much better understanding about Wisconsin's dairy industry, Rick?
Yeah, I think they walk away after being on our farm about an understanding of the dairy industry, an understanding of how we treat our animals, and really, you know, where their food comes from. You know, that it's really neat how everything kind of comes full circle, that, you know, the majority of what a cow eats, we as humans cannot, but yet they can convert that feed into milk, which gives us a wholesome, nutritious product that we can eat, whether it's milk, cheese, yogurt, anything, you know, that it really comes full circle.
Yeah, it's an important story to share with them. Now, Rick, you've been doing this for a while, like we said, and we're looking forward to a lot of on-farm events again in 2024. Not just those fantastic dairy breakfasts, but like you said, children's groups, maybe adult groups. What do you suggest for dairy producers that are thinking about it, but they're so apprehensive? Oh, my farm doesn't look as nice as the neighbors. I don't milk as many cows. And then there's always the weather. How do you help coach them up to have that backup plan or the gumption to go forward?
Yep. So, I mean, we've always hosted farm tours, done different things, and we would encourage every farm of any size to open your farm up. You know, we have nothing to hide as a dairy industry, right? So open your farm up, you know, let school groups come, host the breakfast, do those things. You know, and I think you'll be surprised of, you know, what kind of a dialogue you can have and educate some of these people.
And you have to remember, folks, that Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin does provide a lot of materials and resources try to help you get ready for those groups. You can find them all online, wisconsindairy.org. Rick Roden, along with us, sharing his experience as a board member on Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board and also his experience as one of those acting in the ag tourism industry. Find more at wisconsindairy.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
The market for sustainable aviation fuel has a lot of growing up to do. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farm incentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to Right Spot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. While there's buzz in the ag industry about producing sustainable aviation fuels, one ag marketing expert believes success will not be overnight. Scott Irwin is with the University of Illinois.
There's a lot of hype and interest, particularly on the ethanol side, about sustainable aviation fuel. And there are some pretty good-sized subsidies that will be coming online in 2025 for it. But I'd have to put it out there as the most overhyped market development that I can ever recall, you know, in terms of what's going to happen in the short run.
At the recent Purdue University Top Farmer Conference, Irwin said we now produce less than 20 million gallons of sustainable aviation fuel in the U.S. And while that sounds like a lot,
we haven't even got to the starting line of that industry. The technology is not really proven at scale, particularly on the ethanol side. There's huge long-run potential for sustainable aviation fuel because jet fuel is about a 25 billion gallon market in the United States right now. So if you even replace half of that, that's a lot of gallons of biofuels.
Irwin returns for tomorrow's show. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or are covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.